It's really hard after all these years to visualize all of these boats coming in, all these men rushing, and up there, the enemy is firing down on them. Over 3,000 men killed right through here. Seems unreal, you know, bad dream.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
I got a note from Larry Capetto, who's embarked on what would seem to be a very worthwhile project. He's a producer of TV documentaries, and he's assembling one on what's been called The Greatest Generation.
Hey there.
Dude, come on in.
A Return to Normandy is a project I wanted to produce for the last year and a half. When I started my series, Lest They Be Forgotten, I was thinking what it would be like to take a World War II veteran back to Omaha Beach and have them relive and remember what it was like 60 years ago as a young man. I was very fortunate to meet Lewis Johnson last year in Denver, Colorado. He was one of the veterans that I interviewed while I was there. Lewis was with the Navy in World War II on LST-157. They were responsible for taking in the 29th Division into Omaha Beach on the morning of June 6, 1944. Lewis's story was dramatic. It really touched my heart. Earlier this year, I mentioned to Lewis that I would like to make a trip back to Normandy and document a story, a return to Normandy. Well, Lewis picked up immediately on that and thought it was a great idea. And over the next 2 months, we planned this trip back to Normandy. On April 21st, from Denver, Colorado, Lewis and I boarded Delta Airlines Flight 2232 for JFK, New York City, on the first leg of our adventure back to Normandy. This was Lewis's last hurrah, he told me, his last great adventure. And to have this opportunity to be with this man for 6 days was incredible. It was very emotional.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel fine about it. I want him to go.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it has changed. I've seen pictures. The big concrete wall is gone. The shale, the flat rocks that was on the beach when we landed, is all sand now. And possibly going back, we're kind of put it all in the background. And I look at this as my last big adventure. Going back and meeting this ex-soldier, who was a machine gunner on the beach that we landed on, and he was shooting at us and we were shooting at him. Now, 60 years later, we are going to meet face to face, and it's going to be interesting. I'd like to see how our lives paralleled, that we both survived the war. Can I give her a big smoochie?
Yeah.
How's that? Huh? This is it.
Oh, my God.
What are we going to say? Bon voyage. Bon voyage. Auf Wiedersehen. Yeah. We'll see you in France. And I'm looking forward to this trip with Lewis. It's going to be a great time.
Right.
That's awesome. What you did.
60 yeah. years ago.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
C-46?
I'm going to follow you.
I guess right here, huh?
Four here. We're on courses A, B, and C.
Pardon me?
You look excited.
Well, I'm going back to Normandy after 60 years. I think it's changed a little bit.
The doors are closing. Please keep clear and hold on for departure to Concourse A.
You weren't at Normandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Too young.
Yeah. Too young? Oh.
Jagged.
You just made my day. No, I'm 81.
Yeah.
Well, my wife took good care of me. Been married 57 years, same lady.
Yeah.
Well, I feel lucky.
Lucky.
I landed on Omaha Beach on D-Day.
This is Hot Torch A.
Be happy to get aboard. It's been a little bit of a hassle. That's part of traveling. For 2 years, we've been in blackout all through Africa, Sicily, Italy, and France, England. And when we got to New York, we were amazed at the lights. After 2 years of darkness, bright lights, the neons flashing on and off, we were like a bunch of country bumpkins walking around, staring at everything. No buildings were bombed. Oh, fantastic. Oh, I still got butterflies in my stomach.
How was the flight?
Smooth. Kind of a little rocky in places, but nothing like an LCVP going in on the beach.
A little rough that way, huh?
Yeah.
Baggage claim for flight 2232 is Area D as in Delta. If you have a connecting flight, there are agents outside the gate lounge who will assist you on your next departure gate. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Nice flight.
Thank you.
You're French.
No, I'm German, actually.
German?
Yeah.
Oh. Hi, Ruthie. It was a good flight, hon. Wish you were here. We're in the terminal at JFK, and that's as far as I know. I guess it's really hard to put my thoughts together right now. There are so many things that are going to be happening in the next few days that I'm just going to take them one at a time. But I'm real anxious to walk on the beach. I want to show you that one pill box with that 88 gun sticking out. And then to up on the cemetery. I guess that probably is going to be the highlight of my trip. And I hope I'm not disappointed.
We would like to invite our customers on Delta Flight 16 to Paris Charles de Gaulle, seated in Zone 8, to board at this time. Zones 1 through 8 may now board through doorway 12. As you approach the boarding door, please have your boarding pass and photo identification out and available.
Well, Lou, are we here?
Well, I think so, Larry. Between the long bus ride after we landed and the 40 miles that we've walked, well, we got our exercises in today. Oh, the flight was great. Food was good. I've always heard airline food was lousy, but they fed us pretty good. Oh, I just say hi to the family. I hope Ruthie's getting along fine, which I'm sure she will be.
Okay, what do you say we go up to Normandy?
Right on. It's a beautiful, peaceful Sunday morning as we are approaching the Omaha Beach area. The countryside of France is beautiful. Normandy is agriculture, but you don't see tall crops like corn or things of that nature. We saw mostly dairy farming, a lot of cows. And I'm not sure if that's wine country or not, but anyhow, it is beautiful, just beautiful. We're driving through some area that fierce battles were fought. This is all part of the Normandy war. As the Germans retreated from the beachhead, they fought skirmishes all along here.
What are you thinking about, Lil?
Oh, just thinking about that day. It's almost as if it never happened. I know it did, but when you look and see how peaceful it is now, nothing but the waves, the wind, just think of the terrible carnage that day. This place was littered with broken machinery, trucks, tanks, boats. It really seems unreal. You look up at those cliffs and thinking of all the guns that were up there. In that direction there, you still see the old concrete bunkers where they had gun emplacements. And when you think about it, it really is, it's unreal. When you think of all these men, these young guys, killing one another. Well, will we ever learn?
Were you here?
Pardon me?
Were you here during the war?
Yes, D-Day.
Well, could you... We just got to Omaha Beach. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
When we got there, we really had no intention of meeting anybody, and just happened across Lewis Johnson, who was one of the boatmen who came over and brought the troops into the beaches, and Rochelle came up to him and asked him if he had been there, and this started this entire conversation about his role on D-Day and really what he had even done prior to that. I mean, he'd made several beach landings even prior to that, and it was truly miraculous to meet this gentleman who had been through so much and survived, you know, numerous occasions of battle. And it was very touching to meet somebody who, to me, was a hero, but yet he didn't think so. You know, to him, the heroes were the people that were left behind, not the ones that went home. And that's so modest. I mean, that's just incredibly modest, and I just couldn't believe that he was like that.
This young lady came up to me and asked me if I had been there, meaning was I there on D-Day, and I said yes, and I didn't know she was American at first, and then a man came up, and it was Steve, and her name was Rochelle, and they were on their honeymoon. I thought, man, people on their honeymoon come to Normandy.
We were actually on our honeymoon, and it was important to me to go to France at some point in my life and go to Normandy. You know, I'd read a lot about it and had, you know, watched a lot of documentaries on TV in the past, and Rochelle was interested too, and I wanted to take her over there, and it was just really important for us to see that area of the country and what was involved with these young men that went over there and started the freedom of France. And it really touched me when I saw Private Ryan many years ago, because these were kids really that were the age of my children that were going over there and doing this incredible thing. When we went to the beach, I can remember being a little nervous about it. And I can't really say why, other than the fact that I just thought it was such a special area and I didn't know what I was gonna see. I mean, obviously it wasn't gonna look like a war zone, but you know, I knew it was gonna be a very special place. almost spiritual, I guess, for lack of a better term.
So where did you land? We saw the bunker over there.
Down here, Frilla?
Uh-huh.
I landed probably, I'm just guessing now,
uh-huh.
60 years.
I know.
About 100 yards down. There's a monument up here to the 29th Infantry.
Uh-huh.
That's where we landed. That's who we landed, the 29th.
Uh-huh.
And there they took horrible casualties.
Yeah.
It was red with blood. The water was pink. Oh, it was... stupid war. You know, we landed at 06:30 or thereabouts. And don't ask me what wave, because it was so fouled up that nobody landed where they were supposed to. And wave after wave of people were coming in. The only ones that really knew what wave was ones that hit the beach first. And very few of those lived to tell about it. See the wave action, of course, uh-huh. On D-Day, it was bigger, much more than that.
Yeah.
And these bodies would wash in, and then when the wave would go out, it would take the body out.
Yeah.
But it was kept stacking them up. Well, actually, you people are making my day.
Oh,
I mean, I've been crying all morning.
And just memory?
Just memory.
Yes.
I've been married 57 years, and... most of my married life, I never told my wife anything.
Ils n'auront pas fini parce qu'ils ont pris un... Il faut qu'on rentre dans une demi-heure, vous dites qu'on n'aura pas fini dans une demi-heure.
Vous n'avez pas fini.
Non.
L'adresse.
The card with the address.
Ah oui.
I'll get that. She wants your picture.
Oh. Wow. Here. Now, I got right in the middle of them. There. How about that? Don't run off and leave me, comrade.
La soirée, il faudrait que madame soit à côté.
À côté de lui,
si jamais.
Il a dit qu'il avait 18 ans quand il est allé dans l'armée et qu'il avait 20 ans. 20 ans.
Ah, il avait 20 ans.
Il avait 20 ans.
Yeah, U.S. Navy Amphibious.
Ah, c'est ça, c'est le nom exact. Okay.
Oui, ça, c'est son nom exact.
My real war training came in combat. In Africa. As we walked along, Larry had his official-looking camera going, and pretty soon we had an entourage of people that was unbelievable. I made the comment to Larry, I said, I feel like the Pied Piper. Now, these were all French people.
We went outside the Hotel du Casino, and some people followed us out there, and a French journalist came up to Louis from TF1, which is one of the major French television networks in France, and he wanted to ask if he could do a story with Louis. I said, sure, that's what we're here for. So they took Louis down on the beach, and for the next hour, he had his entourage. I mean, people followed him down to the beach and were just interested in just... more so just to be in the presence of this man who was on Omaha Beach in 1944. I mean, you know, being in the presence of Louis and Franz Gonkel was like touching a piece of history, being in the presence of a piece of history.
Just about somewhere in there.
La femme avec la veste rouge, c'est là.
Well, pretty soon here came another photographer with his cameras, and video cameras or whatever you call those. He was a Frenchman from Paris, from a TV station. And he was doing some background work for their presentation of the upcoming 60th anniversary. At one time, he asked me if I would walk along where the sand was a little damp, wet, and he was down on his knees taking pictures of my feet walking along. You know where the pier is?
Yeah.
That's where the Mulberry was built.
Marbury, okay.
Yeah.
In 1944, what was how old was you in June 6th?
20.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I fought in North Africa.
Yeah?
I was 18, 19, in Sicily.
Okay.
In Salerno, Italy. That's okay. Where I got my on-the-job training.
Okay.
Then we came up here.
Today, where do you come from?
I'm from Denver.
In the United States?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I see, it's a lot smoother today, the water. That was a pretty rough day. And in battle stations, I fired a 40-millimeter gun.
Okay. It's possible to walk in?
Sure.
On the beach?
See, these rocks weren't here. Those houses, nothing looks the way it did. They were up there shooting at us. Can you imagine looking out there and seeing 6,000 ships? It was such a sad day. So many people killed. I've never gotten over it. And but for the sake of the French, I'm happy.
What was the vision on the beach in 1944, the June 6th? What was the vision, what were they looking at?
Oh, what did it look like?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Bodies, American bodies, were stacked up like driftwood. There were so many bodies that the tanks, the American tanks, the Sherman tank, were having a hard time getting ashore because they had to run over bodies. And there's one tank man that has been interviewed by this gentleman here who said that he was told to move in. And he said, I can't. I run over people. Run over them. We got to get you off the beach. And so he said, I chose to run over their legs. And he said, I wouldn't turn because when you turn, you lock a track. And he said it would tear their legs off. We have a video of that, of him telling that. And he cries. He said, it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, to have to run over a fellow American. Bodies were floating out here. They had their life belts on, and they have a pneumatic CO2 cartridge, and it blows these belts up. And these guys were getting hit, and they had 65 pounds of equipment on their back, and their heads went down, and they were bobbing like corks. Many of them drowned. They were wounded, but they drowned.
You know, Omaha Beach is named Bloody Omaha.
Yes.
Okay. And it was a hell.
But they called it Bloody Omaha because we had so many people killed. 3,600 in the first day along this beach.
Had you ever seen bodies on these beaches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ripped apart, entrails hanging out, legs missing.
They were your friends?
When you say friends, just people that you know, you've met. You don't want to get too well acquainted. Because when a friend gets killed, it's sad. I mean, it's bad enough, but when someone you really know...
It was really bloody.
Yes.
Really.
The sand along here was red with blood. The water was pink. No joke. The human body has a lot of blood. And when you tear 3,600 men apart, take 5 liters and multiply that by several thousand, That's a lot of blood.
Can you spell your name?
Sure. My first name? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
They were up there shooting at us.
Hello. Oh, that's great.
Wait till my wife sees these pictures of all these women. These people, naturally, they all had cameras, and they wanted their picture taken with me.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been such a pleasure to meet French people who are so friendly.
Thank you. And of course, thank you for the sacrifice in 1944, but it was a real sacrifice.
Well, it took 3 years of the best part of my life. And I still haven't gotten over. Totally. I cry. I can't help it. I just...
Thank you. Okay. But
listen, it's my
we
pleasure.
We have to live in Corv. I believe we have to leave this place.
Okay. Well, you all be good now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Now, who is this young lady?
I'm stagiaire. You don't understand. I'm with...
Sister?
Blondie is a friend
I'm
of
with them.
Of
and I look. And, voilà.
And she works with me now for five days in my office.
Well, carries a little book around. I thought maybe she's your secretary.
Very good. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye.
Okay.
That's the saddest piece of music. That'll make you cry. I left the visitor center and was walking out toward the cemetery, and the superintendent of the cemetery caught up with me, and he presented me with an American flag and a French flag that had been on a gravesite of an American, and there they are. They're hung up in my place of honor. And so he gave me those flags, and then he said, I wish I could remember the exact words, but in honor of you and your fallen comrades, I would like to play taps for you. Now, there are loudspeakers scattered throughout the cemetery, which is over 100 acres. It's big. And he had a remote, and so he hit the switch, and I came to attention. And Taps is the saddest piece of music ever written. And to hear this bugle blowing these notes, boy, I tell you, even now, it gets to me. But I thought that was pretty terrific.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm glad you was here to hear it.
Yeah. Ed said, yeah,
I tell you, there was times that I didn't think we were going to make it.
Thanks for everything.
Oh, that was, that was a horrible day.
I'll tell you,
day.
It makes me mighty proud to be a part of this operation.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for what you've done.
We spent an incredible day with him, touring the beaches, going to the cemetery. They played taps for him while we were at the cemetery, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. I mean, everybody was crying. I mean, it was a very emotional experience for him and for us to be with him. He's very similar in age to my father, and it was good to spend the day with somebody like him. He was just honestly one of the nicest people who had done so much for his country, but yet didn't feel like he had. When we came to the cemetery and we saw the graves, and so many of them are unknown. I mean, they don't know anything about these people, many of that they buried, and so many were just so incredibly young. It's an incredible price that you have to pay for freedom, but it is something that you have to do. You can't, to me, become complacent about freedom. I think if you do, then you lose your freedom. And it is unfortunate that things like that have to happen, but at times they do.
Boy, I cry every time I come here. You know, that's more than a rock.
Yeah, it's a piece of history. A piece of history that you made.
Yep. Helped too.
Yeah.
There's a boy from Tennessee.
Where's that?
There's a boy from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Killed June 12th. When you're preparing for an invasion, you have a map, and you can probably see how this is laid out. And this will be red, and this will be green, and whatever beach. Things were so confused that nobody knew where they were. When the ramp goes down, usually it's a second Louis, because he's a platoon leader,
mm-hmm.
and either a second or a first, and then a captain is a company leader. But they're the first ones off, and they were the first ones that's hit. And behind them comes their top sergeants, and then right on down the line.
So the platoon leadership was first, and the privates came way after them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Follow me, men. That's it. When you're a leader, you're a leader. Mm-hmm. You don't say, you guys go first.
Yeah. That's right.
That's why
so many of the officers were killed.
Because they were leading their mm-hmm. troops to battle.
Yeah. And one of the people that Larry interviewed was talking about that. The officer would be killed, the sergeant would be killed, the corporal would be killed, and the rest of the guys are on their own.
Mm-hmm.
We drove to the German cemetery, which is, 20 or 30 kilometers away. Originally, that had been an American cemetery. And then after the war, the Americans were exhumed and moved to the present cemetery overlooking Omaha Beach. And this became a German cemetery. And there are 21,000 Germans buried there.
Ja, hier ist der deutsche Soldatenfriedhof. Und viele Kameraden von mir liegen hier. Die sind am 6. Juni und am 7. Juni am Omaha Beach gefallen. Wann er ist geboren und welchen Dienstgrad er gehabt hat. Und die Toten, 21.000, sind aus
These
der
These are your Regie. Comrades here?
No, the, here.
Oh, okay.
Das ist eine Ruhestätte, die auch zur Besinnung einlädt. Und ich finde hier und besuche immer wieder Freunde, mit denen ich 6 Monate in Colleville zusammen war. Hier in diesem Block sind 30 Kameraden von mir dead. Und das ist Leutnant Bauch, Er war der Kompanieführer, the leader of our
Lieutenant.
Company.
Yeah.
Ja, 606 Day. 606.
As we walked along, Franz would look down and he'd say, Kamerad. And then a little bit later, Kamerad. What he was doing was pointing out there were 22 of his group, 22 out of 25 that were killed on D-Day. Franz was wounded. Either a bullet or a big hunk of shrapnel hit his gun, his machine gun, blew it apart, as he explained, and wrecked up his left hand. So he was wounded, and only two survived out of the 25. So he was pointing out some of those comrades, and that must have really been tough on him. Came across another stone, and he said, home. Somebody from his hometown. And another one, he said, ein kilometer. I knew that was one. But that was emotional. Very, very emotional.
Yeah, and he was in 62 with me together. In 66, Zwilden is a friend of me. We are 6 months together. He's from our company too. He's a friend. The name is Helmut Kieserling. He living in my home, 1 kilometer of my parents. He's dead on the 16.
So you knew him before you went into service?
Yeah, before
he was a neighbor.
Yeah, 1 kilometer.
1 kilometer.
Yeah. And he has said in Polish machine gun.
Soldat?
Yeah, inconnu. Yeah, soldat. Inconnu.
Infantry?
Infantry.
And what is this? It's a different
word. Yeah, then two.
Oh.
These are two soldaten.
I see.
And this one. And two, she has not a name.
Uh-huh.
Ja, und viele waren so jung. Sie waren erst 18 Jahre. Und einige waren Familienväter, 35 Jahre. Hier ist Paul Hemming. Bei ich wurde verwundet. He's dead on the 66. Uh-huh. I was wounded and he was dead. He came from my home too. He's 18 years.
I put my arm around Franz. I don't know, I think it was the thing to do. Here's two comrades 60 years later. And we walked among these stones, and they don't have the cross or monuments. They have a stone, it's about a foot square, and the name, regiment, etc. is engraved. Kind of sad, old comrade.
Yeah.
Real shame.
Too much.
Yep.
And why?
We had asked Franz and his wife to go with us to the American cemetery. And at the last minute, they made excuses not to. And Larry and I wondered about that, and we got to thinking that it might have been a little bit difficult for him to have probably killed some of those Americans. There's no probability about it. I'm sure he did. But, and I can understand that. But I would like to have had a picture of the two of us among those 9,000 plus crosses.
Also,
we are fortunate to have been granted an interview with a German who was a German soldier on Omaha Beach on D-Day. His name is Franz Gockel. What a highlight for both of us. This man was 18 years old on June 6, 1944. He actually was manning a Polish machine gun in a machine gun nest on Omaha Beach, one of the strong points that the Germans had on the beach that day, strong point number 62. Franz Gockel is now an old man, and his story is being told, just like Lewis's story is being told. And to see Franz and Lewis together for the first time, powerful. To see these two men who were enemies 60 years ago as friends today, no animosity between these men. It was an incredible thing to see that.
Yeah. The water is about 300 meters back on the 6th June. On 11 o'clock in the morning, it is to here. And this galleon, already the keys, is not good for the tank. The tank.
They can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more. Two casemates. German 75 millimeter gun.
How far down did our landing craft?
Yeah. About 800 meter.
800 meters down, down the beach from there?
24 kilometers on the beach dort.
Yeah. I landed way up there.
In the Vieville.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah, a lot of our invasion craft hit these sandbars and got stuck. That's why they had to wade through.
Many, many ships.
Over 6,000.
Yeah. More ships as German soldier. Da wollen Sie nochmal die Hand geben. Jetzt geben wir uns die Hand und freuen uns, dass wir es überlebt haben.
The tide, when you were here, was the tide back or was the water up here?
The first time, in the morning, 6 o'clock is back.
Yeah, you were up there on that.
No, this was in gun 75.
Well, that was a 75 there.
Yeah.
And then your machine gun, what were you?
He was here. And here, about 400, 500 meters, is an 88.
Okay, that was the other 88. And then there's one that other end. Okay.
288 on the Omaha Beach. And several 50 millimeter and 75 millimeter.
And you had other guns back, the big ones.
Yeah, we sleep back.
Yeah.
It's a monument, the obelisk.
Uh-huh.
10 meters on the side.
Yeah.
It's my bunker for sleep.
Oh, okay.
In the night we go to the bunker and I go to my machine gun. Here with our machine gun. And it was on the day very bad for us.
You remember, Franz, the Americans landing here?
Yeah. Hier am Strand hatte ich immer wieder daran erinnert, wie die Soldaten mit ihren Sturmbooten ankamen und sie sprangen heraus und viele liefen in den Tod hinein. Und mit dem steigenden Wasser kommen Tote und Verwundete an Land geschwemmt. Das waren sehr, sehr viele. Ich wurde hier auf diesem Stützpunkt 18 Jahre. Als 17-Jähriger kam ich in die Normandie und war hier am 30. Dezember 1943 18 Jahre geworden. Und ich war ein Vierteljahr vorher schon in der Normandie. Französische Freunde sagten, oder Bauern, sie sagten, du bist noch ein sehr junger Soldat, du bist ja noch wie ein Kind. Dann wollen wir nochmal hier.
Is this the hand that got shot?
Oh, he's called, yeah. I was shot here.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you see?
$1 million wound. Yeah. I
getting shot in the butt. Yeah. And here was a house with our kitchen. Okay. It's destroyed in the morning in 5 minutes. It was destroyed.
Destroyed.
So I was here.
Right here?
Yeah. It's a bunker. Arbeit wood. With wood. The bunker here. And wood. And I can see the Meer. Hier war ein Holzbunker und oben drüber waren Baumstämme und darüber etwa 1 bis 1,5 Meter Erde. Und ich habe die Scharten zum Meer hingehabt und ich konnte von hier in die kleinen Landungsboote hereinsehen. Und das ist für Munition.
Pardon?
Munition, Ammunition.
Oh,
hier.
Okay.
Und hier ist für Handgranaten. Und da ist ein 5 cm Anti-Tank.
Anti-Tank Gun?
Ja, 5 cm Anti-Tank. Und etwa 30, 40 Meter weiter war ein Kamerad auch mit einem Maschinengewehr.
He told us in the interview that they were told to wait until the American soldier was about knee-deep in the water and then open up. He made a sweeping motion, something like that, and he said they were just mowed down. And I imagine these young men wading through the water and being cut down,
in der Nacht vom 5. zum 6. Juni gab es gegen 1 Uhr in der Nacht Alarm und es wurde in den Bunker reingeschrien, sie kommen. Sie kommen, jetzt wird es ernst. Und ich bin zu meinem Maschinengewehrbunker. Wir haben vorher die Information gehabt, ihr dürft nicht zu früh schießen, ihr müsst warten, bis dass die Truppen im Schussbereich sind. Und wir haben gesagt, als wir die Schiffe alle aufgefahren sehen, mein Gott, haben wir gesagt, das sind ja mehr Schiffe als deutsche Soldaten. Und ich habe dann sehr viel gebetet, kurze Gebete, sehr laut. Ich habe geschrien, Gott hilf mir. Oder Heilige Maria, steh mir bei. Heiliger Josef, steh mir bei. Ich möchte wieder nach Hause hin.
But your machine gun was right here.
Yeah.
An anti-tank gun there.
Yeah.
And your ammunition bunker here.
Yeah. And the anti-tank, if you go on the beach, not to the sea, nicht zum Meer hin, sondern nur am Strand entlang. Ich bin bei dem Alarm, es gab gegen 1 Uhr nachts Alarm, hier runtergelaufen mit meinem Karabiner und hier war mein Maschinengewehr und hier haben wir gewartet, bis dass die Schiffe kamen, als es hell wurde gegen 6 Uhr und ab 7 Uhr wurde schon sehr viel geschossen. Um 6 Uhr kommen die ersten Boote. Das Wasser war etwa 300 Meter zurück. Und viele, viele Amerikaner blieben auf dem Strand liegen. Das war grausam. Und mit dem Wasser kommen viele Tote und Verwundete an Land geschwemmt. Gegen 11 Uhr war Hochflut. Da stand das Wasser bis dicht bei den Dünen.
Boy, I tell you, when I look at this now from up here, what a devastation that was. Can you imagine those ships, those small boats coming in with these guys at almost point blank range? Now, is this for 75?
Oh,
75 flankieren, along the sand.
Oh man,
no. From the ship, the fleet,
yeah.
No, konnte nicht getroffen werden hier, ne? No target. Later, the tanks, the US tanks, their landing,
yeah.
He shot here rein.
Oh, yeah.
Ja, das,
they knocked this gun out. This
gun out. From the US tank.
German.
From here.
Bam.
The fleet cannot. Treffer, was auch man. Cannot see this cannon.
Oh, no, I can see
this
that.
Is,
yeah.
This is here drin.
What a day. What a day. The ships lined up, all those boats. Were that other 88?
Yeah.
Well, I landed up there.
Yeah, yeah. This is. Das ging aber hier noch weiter, hier runter noch. Ungefähr Omaha Beach, 4 Kilometer.
Aha.
4 Kilometer, yeah. Omaha.
Yeah.
And the Swerd and Juno and. Utah,
yeah.
You see the organization from this Widerstandsnest, wo Franz the anti-tank cannon, and das ist da oben aufgezeichnet, a Skizze.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Komm. Give it you.
Larry, can you possibly visualize all these landing craft coming in here? No wonder they were sitting ducks. I don't know if you heard what he said or not, but the Navy guns couldn't see there, and it took a Sherman tank to finally knock it out. That was the type of a gun that was tearing guys apart.
I take a picture of you.
Okay.
I send you by the mail.
Louis.
Louis.
Maybe. E. You know, Larry, this is all very interesting, but I'll tell you, it's very sad. When you stop and think about it. But that is a sightseeing chopper.
Probably.
A lot of names.
Yeah. Many names.
Yeah. Okay. This is a sad day. Yeah. Too many memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that place over there, what was that?
Yeah, das ist for the photo help.
Ah.
Und wir schlafen immer in der Uniform. Mm-hmm. Wir dürfen nur die Stiefel ausziehen. Und in der Nacht, wenn es Alarm gibt, wir ziehen die Stiefel sehr schnell an. Und rennen zu unseren Waffen. Die Medaille von Honor inskribiert in Gold.
Das habe ich nicht gesehen.
Also ein.
Bye bye.
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 What do they say? Auf Wiedersehen?
Auf Wiedersehen.
Au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Au revoir.
Tschüss. Thank you.